All right, what is going on, my friends? Tony Steffen here, back with another episode of the School of Success. And today I am joined by a very, very special guest, a published author, a registered dietitian, coach, badass, Manuel Villacorta. Did I nail it?
You did well, Villacorta. Yes, you got it, man.
There you go. I practiced before we hit record here. So what's going on, man? We were just together. We had a lovely dinner. You took my wife and I out, and we had an amazing time. Thank you guys again for the hospitality in San Francisco. How's everything going?
Going very well. I'm actually going on vacation this afternoon. I'm leaving to Europe. So can't wait. Yeah, can't wait.
That's right. And you guys are heading to Greece, correct?
Greece and Portugal. 3 weeks, man. Three weeks. Taking 3 weeks off. And, you know, I finally learned that a week is too short. For sure, 2 weeks, you're just getting into it. 3 weeks is perfect. By the end of the third week, I'm itching to come back. Believe it or not, you know, it's like itching to come back to work again.
Totally. No, I agree with that. A week is like not enough. 2 weeks is like a good amount. That's how we felt too. Like after the summer, we traveled a lot. It's like, I was just so itching to get back. And it's important to do that, to like know when you need a break and know how much time you need to refresh and recharge yourself.
Exactly. That's part of success too.
Yeah. So you, my friend, are very successful, and I'm so excited to have you here. For those that don't know, you know, when I was in college as a male becoming a registered dietitian, well, it was a bit of an ostracized process. You know, it's 90% female, if not higher. So trying to find male role models who, not just male role models in like clinical, but like male role models who were entrepreneurs, who were, you know, had a good media presence, who were successful and just, you know, someone to look up to, it was very hard. So of course I went on Google search. and one name that came up was yours, and I didn't know you, you know, never met you. Like I said, we just met, what was that? Like a week or two ago. This was 5-6 years ago, but you were just so giving, man. You got on the phone with me again. You didn't know me. I had nothing at that time to offer you, and you were just, you know, you're so helpful. So I'm very grateful for that. I know you've mentored students and future dietitians a lot. So,
this is the whole thing is about giving back. I was also the same. I was given a lot of mentorship too as well when I needed. And I still, I'm friends with her still, Deborah Inodoro. I mean, she was super helpful to me. And many other dietitians were very helpful to me too. So, you know, why not? If you see someone once to succeed in nutrition, and especially in our world of registered dietitians, we seem to help each other a lot, which is nice.
Totally. I agree with that. And I've always felt it was you, and then Jim White as well was one of the people he's a good guy. I know you know him. He'll be on the podcast too. But, you know, I felt it was because of you guys, it kind of propelled me to want to give back and do that with future dietitians. So it's a great thing. But you are, like I said, you're very successful. You've published a few books. You've been coaching for a while. You've done, you've had, you know, dietitians working under you. So I would just love to hear your story, like your hero's journey. I know there's a lot to it, but just like the important parts that got you from where, like starting to where you are today.
Yeah. So, well, first off, I mean, you hear an accent, so I'm not from the United States. So, I came at age 20, to the United States and, without any English. And, so the first challenge was learn the language. That took about 2-3 years. And, you know, I was able to already speak it after a year, but I mean, you know, to really understand it and even dream in English. Once you start dreaming in English, you're like, okay, now I know I'm bilingual.
Got it.
So I came with my goal in mind to actually, I wanted to go to medical school. Got into Berkeley, UC Berkeley, which is great. I actually finished pre-med. But then something funny happened. I start cooking. and I remember this is back in the day when emails were not existing, or Facebook or FaceTime or any of that. I would remember writing letters to my mother. 15 days later, a recipe will come in the mail, a recipe at a time, and I will learn how to cook these recipes. Because I was missing my Peruvian food. I was missing my stews, my soups, You know, we eat a lot of, our main meal is lunchtime. You know, I was kind of getting tired of sandwiches and salads. And so that's when I decided to start cooking. And it's funny enough, at the same time, I was taking a nutrition class right at the time when I started learning to cook. And I sort of started questioning what I really wanted to do. You know, I wanted to become a doctor because that's the thing to do for, you know, in the Latino culture, you know, doctor is high, looked high up and, you know, but I really, the reality was I wanted to help people. You know, I like health. I like the science. So that's when I sort of questioned, maybe I don't really need to become a doctor to continue helping and do the science. And actually nutrition is probably the most important thing to prevent disease. And since I got into cooking, I sort of start playing more with food and making it a little more fun. So that's when I decided to not continue with medical school. And my father at the time, I remember he will come and visit and he told me, well, you can become a chef. You're going to wear white anyway. So by him telling me that, you know, already got his blessing that you can do whatever you want. I don't care. So unfortunately, he passed away, but, you know, he didn't see me graduating as a registered dietitian, nutritionist. But from there, I remember not having any experience working with people or nutrition coaching and counseling. I had no idea about what I wanted it to do with nutrition too. So my first job ever was at the Women's Infant and Children Program. And I got into the program. Of course, I like challenges. And someone told me, you're not going to be able to work there because you're a guy and they do a lot of breastfeeding. You're not going to be able to do breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. I said, well, let me show you. So anyhow, for sure, I showed them that I actually became a lactation consultant. I probably seen more nipples in my life than anybody else.
Right.
I did breastfeeding, coaching, lactation education for about 10 years. My master's thesis, once I get my master's in nutrition, was actually on lactation and was more about preventing diabetes on women who had gestational diabetes if they were to breastfeed. It was a very important project that I worked on. So I did my whole work on breastfeeding and lactation and research and helping mothers with their babies. I did this for 10 years. That made the person that I am right now. I have to say that, you know, that gives me the whole spectrum. I was helping low-income mothers at the time, visiting the toughest neighborhoods around here, East Palo Alto, Redwood City. Not kidding, as I was doing home business, gunshots will go on. You know, it's like,
oh, wow.
Exactly what was happening. And Birkenstocks, very like oatmeal kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, doing the breastfeeding work. And I remember, you know, I was questioning now, maybe I should continue with my PhD. Well, my partner, husband now, says to me, when are you going to start making money? So he's like, if you're able to do what you did with this program that you created with the lactation consultant, you probably can open your own practice and be very successful at it. So, you know, he planted a seed in my head. I never really thought about opening a practice and do what I do now. So I have to thank him for that. And sure enough, you know, he said to me, hey, open the practice. If everything fails, I'm here just in case as your safety net. So that helped, you know, had his support. And I never really had to use him as a safety net, which was interesting. Within 6 months of opening the practice, I already had a waiting list of 6 months.
Wow.
And I think what I helped was when I opened the practice, I decided that I needed to do something different, not just nutrition coaching on giving people tips. I created a program. You know, I was thinking, you know, all these diets that work, they have a structure, they have rules, they have policies. People need that stuff. People need guidance. People need rules, and not rules, but people need, you know, steps, protocols, and a structure in their life. So created this program that I implemented in my practice. Took me a few months to write that the whole protocol. You know, it was like session one, session two. I knew that you cannot change behavior in a day. You know, that it takes at least 3 months. So this is why even up today, until today, when I see clients in my practice, I tell them, minimum time work with me is 3 months. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste your time or waste my time. Mm-hmm. So it does take 3 months to at least start implementing new behaviors and doing something without even thinking about it anymore. So that was very successful. And then, you know, by that time, I already seen hundreds of people. I had already, by that time too, I had two other dietitians working in my practice. Man, we were just rocking it.
Yeah.
And that's when a great idea came to mind. Oh my God, you need to put all of this in a book. So it's like, you know, this is a very successful program. You know, I had a guy that lost 185 pounds just through behavioral change. It's like, it can be done. You don't need to go through surgery to do this. And it took 2 years, but hey, nonetheless, he lost 185 pounds, half of his weight.
Wow.
That was so motivating for me. And I mean, people were dropping weight like 80 pounds, 100 pounds, you know, a bunch of 30 pounds, all through just behavioral change. And, you know, and what I called back then, my program was called Eating Free. All foods can fit in your diet, and, you know, free of guilt. And eating healthy doesn't mean just eating kale or coconut oil. I mean, it's having a good relationship with food, accepting that you like pizza and be okay with that, and know how often you think you need it and what to do after that, and without any guilt. To me, that's the most important thing. So I had this great idea to create a book, and I remember wrote a proposal, and I think I shared this with you. I thought, as I have it, I mean, this is a successful thing. Little did I know, I got 40 rejections.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. So yeah. 40 no's before the yes.
40 no's before the yes. It took a year and a half to finally for me to say, I'm going to stop trying. So just hear what they're saying. They're telling you need to increase your platform. And I'm like, what is a platform? So I'm not going to become a singer. What are you talking about?
So, right.
You know, so the thing is, the platform means how popular you are in the media. Or are you... You don't even have to become popular. You just need to have media hits where often enough so that people know you, the media knows you, and you are an expert by the media. And then when you get a book, then the media can call you. And I understand this now, why it happens, because, I mean, my last book got 12 TV hits, which was outstanding for a book tour.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand what they wanted. I mean, you know, book sales is a book business. It's just a business. They need to sell books. And I did it through a publishing house. So it's a business. So it makes sense. So so I listened to what they wanted. I, you know, they stopped trying. And then I remember decided to build my platform. I became a national spokesperson for the Academy of Dietetics. And that was just what took me to the next level with platform and the media. I started getting quoted in national magazines left and right. Some TV, but it was more like now all these magazines were calling. And it was amazing. So short enough, you know, after 2 years of working on my platform, I submitted my proposal again. And within 3 days, I got two proposals accepted.
Wow.
And then the rest is history. I mean, I stay with the same publishing house, and now I just published my last book, Flat Belly 365, this last January. But it took a lot of work. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes people think, oh, Manuel, you're lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. I worked a lot.
and that's when we met for dinner, that's what I said too, is like when you told me 40 no's before you got the yes, I was in disbelief. Because yeah. Like I see how strong your media presence is. Your videos are so well. So obviously like your content, you know, it was really good. And I was in just shock and disbelief. But I think the best like takeaway from that is like most people give up way too early on their goals.
Yes.
Like they throw in the towel. And I'm sure, and I know you told me like that was very frustrating. I'm sure there were moments where you were like maybe you even doubted it, but you woke up the next day and you stayed on that journey. And if you didn't stick through 40 no's, like you wouldn't have got that eventual yes.
No. And I mean, I think I shared this with you too. I mean, the story where I actually cry so hard. It's like, once finally got accepted, right? The literary agent says, I'll tell you, but tell me why you're unique, what your program is unique, and why is it different than Weight Watchers? Oh my God, I was so mad at that. So I remember, you know, again with my partner husband, sharing with him, and I start like pretty much just yelling at and crying and telling him, you know, why I was unique and why the diet was unique. Not me so much, but my program is unique. And as I was screaming and crying, he was typing it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we came out with 10 things. And he's like, here, shut up.
That's amazing. That's such a great
story. That was really good. Yeah, that was really, really good. And that was it. I mean, I have those 10 things in my proposal still. And it was a great story.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So that's the coolest thing. And that's what I love so much about like your story is that like all your success was predicated on adversity, right? Like you said, yes. You were 20 years old. You came to the United States. And just so I'm correct, like you had to learn English while you were here, correct?
Yes. I had to learn English first. Yes. I wish I pay attention to when they were, you know, we took English classes in school.
Sure.
But I back in the time, you know, when you're little, it's like, when am I going to use that language? I'm not going
to use
that.
Right,
right. Never really. I mean, good luck if I knew the colors and count to 10. I mean, that's about it, right?
Right. So that was like the first hurdle. And then, like you said, it was the switching career choice of doctor to dietitian.
Yes.
And then it was coming out as a dietitian, not knowing exactly what to do. So then it was, you know, working for WIC in low income areas. Like you said, you were hearing gunshots when you were there, you know, it was a challenging situation. And then the adversity of going on your own and creating the business that you create and then the publishing. So it's like, man, if someone listening to this takes nothing else away from the fact that it's adversity that builds you instead of breaking you, like that's exactly. It right there.
Yes. And you have to climb the mountain. I mean, there's no way you can jump this thing. You know, I that's how I see it in our profession. It's like, you know, you have to, if you're a new dietitian, you know, you have to understand the coaching and people, and that takes time, you know, and that will make you a very successful dietitian. And I see it in my practice when I work with new dietitians, you know, that didn't have the experience in coaching, they will have a hard time with clients. But I mean, that's just one part in private practice, but then also, you know, in setting goals, you know, you gotta be very clear on your goals and never give up. I mean, I never gave up, never.
Right.
And even until today, I mean, I set my mind and that's it.
I love that. Do you feel like that's like a reoccurring theme with like new dietitians or just, you know, coaches in general, you know, people who want to start a business, like they want success and they want it overnight. And when they get that first no, it's like they almost want to give up. They're like, well, I was told no, so it's not going to work.
Yeah, no, I see that a lot. I mean, you know, I see it often where they want to be where I am and overnight. And I have to remind them that, you know, well, one, I'm older. So I have to have gone through some processes, you know, and I started at a WIC, and then I, you know, moved on to a public health program after WIC. I mean, I did 10 years of coaching, counseling, speaking in communities. I mean, you know, I was using all of that experience helped me where I am right now, because how I knew I could be a good speaker is because if I'm in front of 20 or 30 moms, low-income moms, trying to, you know, telling them on breastfeeding, and they're like, what is this guy telling us about breastfeeding?
Yeah.
You know, what do you know about breastfeeding, right? So who you are to tell us about what we need to do with our babies? So if I was able to convince the group of women to do breastfeeding, I was like, okay, I can do anything.
You know? Yeah,
so, I love that. That is what helped me now when I'm actually going to be speaking at our convention in DC on video. And I'm going to be speaking with some very talented dietitians, you know, two of them who are very well known, Ellie Krieger and Miller Jones. I mean, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm at that level now, you know, sure. Speaking with those two dietitians, so, which is fantastic. But I started speaking at community, low income communities, which is, I love it, how the whole progression, how it's been.
I love that. And I like the analogy that you use. You have to climb the mountain. And whenever you climb the mountain, you can't come in and like helicopter into the middle. And
No.
You have to start at the base. And I agree. I think, and that can be applicable for fitness and nutrition as well. Someone wants to lose 185 pounds. That's amazing. I've had a few 100-pound transformations, but never 180. So that's insane, man. Props to you and your client. But it's like you have to start at ground zero. And most people give up right before they reach gold. So I love
that. Exactly. You know, with this one client, I was still in communications. He moved to New York. I told him, I remember clearly, okay, we're going to have a long journey together. We're going to have to, like, you know, because this is something that we're going to work on. And I told him, it's not, you know, for, and this is a smart guy, so it wasn't about me telling him he need to stop fast food or drink sodas, to be honest. So, you know, I said, well, we're gonna have to create your team. I helped him start to creating a team, doctor, a trainer, a therapist. You know, I told him, listen, I'm a registered dietitian. I can coach in food, but I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. Understanding what my limitations are and referring to the right professional is also very important. So together we built a team, and then I told him that we needed to commit to each other, and I needed his commitment as well. And one way we did it was every day, man, nonstop for 2 years, he will email me every day on how he was doing.
Wow.
It could be maybe even a line or two lines, you know. I have an interesting story, funny story. I got an email from him on Christmas Day 1 year. And then he was feeling lonely. And I happened to actually grab my phone and saw the email. And he's like, I just bought 12 donuts. I'm going to pick them up to my home and eat them. I feel lonely right now. I reply back, okay, do what you think is best. That's all I said. 2 hours later, he replies back with an F you. He said, I gave the donuts away to my doorman.
Wow.
And that reply just said, okay, do what you need to think is right. You know, it was enough for him to stop that. But it's like, that's the level of connection you have to have with people when you need to lose that much weight. I mean, it's like, it's not just about, you know, eating healthy, as you know already. I don't need to preach you on that, you know.
Yeah, but that's what I love, and you're absolutely right. Is it's like, and like you said, when most, you know, dietitians come out of school, you have all that formal education, or trainers, or you know, whatever. You come out of a certification, you have formal education, which is great. But human connection can't be taught. Like, no. That's something that has to be developed over time. I mean, I'll get asked this question, and I'm sure you do as well. Like, how do I become a good coach? Like, what book do I read? And it's like, dude, there's no book. You just have to coach clients.
You have to coach, and it's repetition, and it's going to repeat. And eventually you're going to learn that you know, it's like I tell my interns, you know, I have a toolbox here next to me, an imaginary toolbox. I don't have the right coaching method for everybody. I mean, there's clients that come that like to be told exactly what to eat, you know, all the ones that need more guidance and handholding, all the ones that, you know, you do more like the motivational interviewing type of sort of thing, of cognitive therapy. So there's not really like one coaching system or mechanism that is going to work for everybody. You kind of have to see what will fit in with this person and start meeting where they are. I mean, and I think you learn that with time. It's just time and repetition on seeing hundreds of people, not 10, hundreds. And then you feel like, okay, now I consider myself a really good coach.
I love that. I absolutely love that so much. And it just ties in like everything you said of starting at the bottom of the mountain. So I have an interesting question for you. That I'm sure you'll love to run with. What are some bad recommendations you hear in your profession or in our area of expertise, like nutrition, or it could be nutrition, coaching, anything?
Bad recommendations. I think when people limit things to people, that drives me nuts. From the beginning, I tell my clients in my practice, where I'm not going to eliminate any food group or drinks out of your diet. None whatsoever. We're going to deal with all of it. And they're like, look at me like, how? I mean, so I think that I said, if I eliminate things out of your diet, just so that you can lose weight, I'm not doing you any good because I'm not teaching you anything. So that's the one thing. I think when people start restricting things or recommending stop drinking for the next 3 months so you can lose weight, or stop eating pizza or donut, whatever, you know, any of the foods.
Sure.
Another bad recommendation is when I hear all the time, you need to increase your exercise more. And you know this, in reality, you can exercise till the cows come home. I mean, I see it all the time. I mean, I'm tired of telling people this.
Like, yeah.
It's your diet, buddy. It's your diet. 80% is nutrition. It starts in the kitchen. It's what you eat. It's not how much you kill yourself at the gym. So kill yourself at the supermarket, you know?
I love that.
You know, I remember this guy once in my office. Tells me, I haven't exercised, I haven't come shopping anything, and I can now go after your meeting, I'm gonna go exercise. And I said, no, go to the supermarket instead. And he was like, you know, in this belief that I'm recommending to not exercise and actually go to the supermarket to buy the right food so that he can be more successful. So that was like an aha moment for him right there when I'm recommending the supermarket over the gym. I exercise 5-6 days a week. I believe in exercise, but when the prioritizing comes and they are short on time and what the goals are, we have to make sure make it clear that it's nutrition the most important thing. I think, what are the other bad things I hear?
And I love what you said there, though, because when we were at dinner, it was so funny.
What else did I say?
Well, you said, you're like, you do flexible dieting, but you said, I've been doing macros before it was macros.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I love that, though. But it's like, no matter what you call it, right, it's the same message of we're attracted to anything that retreats from us. So, like, if you tell a client, hey, don't, like you said, don't drink. And yeah, you will lose faster. You will lose weight faster if maybe then if you incorporate a few drinks per week. But is it sustainable? And what's going to happen at the end of your weight loss journey and you've just restricted yourself for whatever, 6 months, like you're going to crave that so much. So
yeah, I mean, you don't, in a sense, you don't know how to handle that food or drink, right? I think people need to understand their body. They need to understand their limits. A lot of people really don't even know how to listen to themselves, which I find that to be very interesting. From hunger cues to needs, it's just like, just calm down and listen to what your body is telling you, right? And I could tell them, I can tell them, listen, I have some eating principles that I recommend that can help, right? That has helped most of my clients. Yeah, based on research and based on experience, what I'm seeing people succeed the most if they follow these recommendations. But before even all that, I mean, I can tell you, maybe like eating every 3 to 4 hours. But if your body's asking you to eat a little before, it's not like you have to be exact. Yeah. So and also, I think it's important. I think a good recommendation is to teach people how to listen to their bodies and their cues. I think that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. So here's another question, kind of an outside the box question for you.
Yeah.
Especially since you're a writer, so this is going to apply a lot. Like when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, or yes, like let's say you've lost focus temporarily, like
yes,
what do you do? Like how do you regain that? Or I guess another way of putting it is like, what questions do you ask yourself in that moment to like regain clarity and focus?
Oh no, I love that question a lot because I think about learning about yourself is important. Number one, when you know your brain cells are more active and inspired. So I think I found myself, I know this about myself, truly, morning, I'm a morning person. So most of the stuff that I worked on and write on or ideas that I have are happening early in the morning. So I normally try not to do those sort of creative thinking later in the day because I'm very tired. Mm-hmm. And that's when I get frustrated and then nothing works. So I guess understanding when you are more creative in the day is important. And to me, I know that now that it's early in the morning, it's like 4 or 5 a.m. I'm talking really early.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I'm finding myself that I'm not being creative enough, I pick up the phone, I text a friend, another dietitian, and this is knowing myself, just talking to someone about a topic and kind of sort of brainstorming with another person, man, my light bulbs starts going crazy, like Christmas lights.
Sure.
You know? And that's exactly what happens. It's like, I just need to talk it out with someone. As a self-employer, sometimes, you know, you're alone.
Yep.
You know, you don't have a team. So this is when I use my friends as my resources. So I think that's important. I mean, some people, you know, hire coaches and all that. But to me, I mean, you know, I have built enough of a network that I feel comfortable. I mean, Heather Miangier is one of them. And she does the same thing with me. And we text each other. You have a minute to talk? And then, you know, we're like, just sometimes takes us 2 minutes.
Sure.
You know, we're like, how you doing? I'm doing fine. You too? Okay. Okay. I have a question. You know, I want to write something about this. What do you think? And we just go back and forth for a few minutes and then boom. I'm like, okay, I got it. See you later.
Oh, I love that.
So it's sometimes just sharing your thoughts and speaking it out loud with another person, I think it can help.
I love that. I love what you say. You have to know yourself. And I relate a lot to what you say too about like if you're either a morning or an evening person. Like for me,
yes,
I'm the same way. I can't do any creative work in the evening. Like my evening is always client calls or emails. I can't work out in the evening. Like I literally, if I'm not in the gym by 9 a.m., I'm just not going because I know it's going to be a bad workout.
Exactly.
So it's like you have to know yourself. How did you figure that out? Like how did you learn yourself? Is that something you always had or?
Well, I didn't know this until I wrote my master's thesis. That was early in my 30s, I didn't really understand. I was like waking up at 3-4 in the morning with ideas on what I needed to write and research. And, oh, yeah, I need to probably look into that. And I would get up and then do it then. And that's how I learned that days is really early in the mornings is when my brain cells are like just active for more, like really, sure. Like want, they're hungry for knowledge and ideas, you know. And even when I do, it's funny when I get clients, a new client normally, I like to do them early in the morning, like more in the morning times, early afternoon, because this is the first 90 minutes that we're going to sit down together and meet for the first time. And I really need to engage with them. I really need to like go in there. And if I do a new assessment at 6 p.m., I am going to suck, you know? So, yeah, I get it. 10 a.m. I don't know. It's just they'll get the best of me. And especially if it's a new client and I need to make sure I do my best.
I love that.
Yeah. And again, now I know that. And same thing when I do, Facebook Lives or whatever, it has to be in the morning. Nighttime, I'm not so good anymore.
I love that. You're absolutely right. You have to know yourself. And you have to. I think that's a good takeaway too. Is you have to prioritize your day around your most productive times.
Yes.
We all have 24 hours, but it's about maximizing that time and knowing when you're most efficient. So totally agree with that. The last question I have here, because we could go all day, but I have to respect your time. What advice would you give to a smart, driven college student about to enter the real world? And it could be going into our profession or just any college student that's about to enter, break away from the safety net of school and formal education.
Yes.
Dive into the real world.
Well, that's exactly what I have an intern sitting right next to me right now.
Nice.
And hearing this conversation and the recommendation that I just told it is, or this volunteer that's going to start with me, find the person you like, that you admire, see if you can volunteer for this person and learn the day-to-day tasks of how it gets done. And this guy called me and said to me, I would like to shadow a day to see if I like to do what you do, Manuel. I said, let's not waste our time. If you're going to do that, let's spend time together. Let's spend three months minimum. Again, 3 months. For me, 3 months is like anything for everyone. you can volunteer for me for 3 months and then you're going to get the gist of things. But a shadowing day, you're not going to get anything. You're going to just learn that I'm very stressed all day. Just kidding. that I'm like jumping from one thing to the next. But good stress though. It's all good. But I think my recommendation will be to probably connect with the person they admire, they respect their work, and see if they can, volunteer for that person. And then really learn from that person. I think that, to me, you learn from people. And if the person is willing to do that, then you score, because you're going to get a lot of that.
I love that. And you're absolutely right. They're all skills are learnable, and like success leaves clues, right? Like success leaves clues. So it's like, that's part of why I reached out to you like years ago. I was like, oh, he's a male. He's a dietitian. He's in the media. I believe you probably wrote your book at that time too. Your first one. I'm like, he's got it. So what can I learn from him? And I think so many people like don't do that. They're afraid to do that. Yes. It's like, and I mean, dude, when I was in college, I'm sure you've had this too. Like I reached out to so many people that never responded.
Well, that also will happen. Yes, you're right. And I think the question sometimes they come to me and they're like, aren't you afraid that you're going to create competition, Manuel? And I say, well, I'm always moving. So, I never went in one place. So I don't think I'm never going to find competition, to be honest with you. If they can go as fast as I can, then maybe, but I doubt it. When I do... event seminars where I pretty much vomit details of what how they need to run their business and tell them step by step on how what they do. I always say, I mean, I could have a room of 100 people. One, if one follows everything I said, that will be a success. But sometimes not even one will follow the steps. Sure. So, you know, so that's why I'm not so worried about it.
But, yeah.
You just need to, I mean, people will move as fast as they can or as much as they want to. So
I agree. And there's, I mean, there's no shortage of people that need help with nutrition and health in America. So
exactly. There's a lot of pie.
There's more pie than coaches. I love that. Yeah. It's perfect. All right. So obviously you have a big media presence. So if people want to come away from this and connect with you or learn more about you and everything you do, where should they go for that?
Yes. So, I'm launching a new website, manoviacorta.com. They can find me through manoviacorta.com or envynutrition.com, which is my private practice in San Francisco. Or you just Google my name and you'll find me. I'm easy to be found.
Perfect. So I'll link to that. And then I'll link you're on Instagram and Facebook as well. So I'll link to those.
Yes. Please.
Description.
For sure. Perfect. Yes. All right. Cool.
Sir, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tony.
I took away stuff from this, so I know everyone else listening to it as well. I think the best thing you could have said was, you know, I think that's probably going to be the title of the episode was 40 no's to get the yes and like just overcoming challenges until you get what you want. I think that's the best takeaway you can get from this.
Yes, for sure.
And you're a perfect example of that. So thank you. Thank you for all that.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this and, we'll talk soon, my friend.
No worries. Now I'm ready. Let me go pack for Mykonos.
There you go. All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Take care, man. Bye-bye. Bye.